Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a few Tesla topics to catch up on, as a lot of the attention so far this week, rightfully so, has been on the earnings report. We will spend a little bit of time on analyst reactions to earnings, but then we also have news on the Model S, a couple of things on full self-driving, part shortages, an update on battery recycling, and a couple other things as well. First up, we'll take a quick look at the stock. Obviously, yesterday Tesla was down a little bit following earnings, today bouncing back, but not a whole lot. Only finishing the day up 0.3%, that did trail the NASDAQ up 0.7%. So week to date, Tesla is up slightly from last week's close, but still down from Monday's close before Tesla reported earnings. Some quick macro news, the Fed's July meeting has been happening this week, Tuesday and today. And the news there is that there's not a whole lot of news. Most of the Fed's statement stayed consistent with the previous meeting, essentially continuing to just take a wait and see approach. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell did have some new comments on inflation, though, saying that inflation has risen faster than what the Fed expected, and that it's possible that inflation, quote, could turn out to be higher and more persistent than we expected, end quote, but that he doesn't think that that is the most likely outcome. Not to drag Bitcoin into this, but I do think that that is a part of why Tesla decided to invest in Bitcoin, to hedge against that possibility. Personally, my hedge is Tesla stock. All right, let's talk a little bit about analyst reactions to earnings. I've shared a lot of my thoughts both on earnings day and then yesterday in a couple interviews with Cramer and then Dave Lee on investing if you didn't see those. As for analyst reactions, not a huge surprise because Tesla did beat earnings expectations so significantly, but we saw a lot of price target increases here, but all relatively small increases, maybe 5 to 10% or so in the price target, and I haven't seen many rating changes. Those are often a lot more meaningful than just a simple price target change, so we're not going to go through all these. I think Alex Potter's note from Piper Sandler captured the essence of the reaction well. He's got one bolded bullet point in here, and it reads, quote, Q2 results beat consensus, second half 21 outlook hinges on the supply chain, end quote. I think that emphasis there on supply chain is why the reaction in the stock has been a little bit more muted so far, even though Tesla did have that huge beat. Investors might be just a little bit less enthusiastic about what the second half of the year has to hold for Tesla. So maybe investors just kind of feeling like there's better places for their capital for the rest of the year. And that very well could be the case. It's also worth noting that the market is forward-looking, so the outlook is going to be much more important than the actual individual quarter results that are now in the past, which should be the case. I'd never argue against that. But I think what's important is to understand what this quarter means for the future, which is why I always do these forecasts beforehand so we understand the context when the numbers come in. And the context this quarter showed an incredibly fundamentally strong business. That is the important takeaway from this quarter for the future. Not anything to do with the supply chain or semiconductor shortages or the like. Those things are inherently short-term in nature. They're solvable, they will be solved, and they will be solved soon. And when they are solved, what's left standing is the fundamental strength that Tesla showed this quarter. That's what's more important to the future. It's also worth considering that some of the challenges that the industry at large is facing right now could actually be beneficial to Tesla in terms of competitive advantages. Because Tesla is much more agile than their competition, TeslaFacts on Twitter pointing this out, just giving the example of Tesla introducing 19 different microcontroller variants while simultaneously writing new software to be able to utilize those different parts to be able to keep production rolling. Elon replied to that saying, quote, Tesla software team is excellent even when compared to the best software companies. This is a big deal as cars are very much computers on wheels, end quote. It doesn't mean Tesla is not going to be impacted, but Tesla has proven themselves to be more than capable of working through challenges. We saw that last year with the pandemic, and we're seeing that again this year with supply chain shortages. Importantly, I think this is clear in hindsight for last year and will be clear in hindsight again for this year, those circumstances should not impact Tesla's long-term value. Being able to demonstrate an 11% operating margin without the impact of SNX and despite all these challenges happening, yeah, that should impact the long-term value. Anyway, wrapping up that note from Piper Sandler, they did comment on those 11% operating margins being at best ever levels without the benefit of FSD subscription revenue that's going to be recurring and benefiting those every quarter in the future, obviously pending the take rate of the option up front. But what they did also note that I thought was interesting here is that they do say that they're going to be updating their model. They're just waiting on some information on June European sales. But they then say, quote, in the meantime, we reiterate our overweight rating and $1,200 price target, end quote, which $1,200 I believe the highest on the street. But sounds like they're going to be updating their model, which could potentially change that price target one way or the other. So we'll keep an eye out for that. The other analyst note that I wanted to comment on, and this will be super quick, is Canaccord Genuities, just because one element of this I found to be quite, I guess, humorous is probably the nicest way to put it, but they have lowered their price target from $812 to $768. And the last bullet point on this Street Insider recap of the note reads, quote, we are adjusting our price target to $768. Based on 45 times our 2024 adjusted EBITDA estimate of $19 billion, previously 812 based on 50 times of $18 billion, in respect to increased chip shortage concerns highlighted on the earnings call. End quote. What? I mean, let's break that down here. So they're lowering their price target based on a higher EBITDA estimate for 2024. So a higher estimate means they're showing faster growth in their model. Despite faster growth, they're lowering the multiple from 50x to 45x. Usually when you have higher growth, that is what justifies a higher multiple. So it's kind of inverse of what you would expect there. And then they're justifying it based on chip shortage concerns in 2021. Okay, what is the impact of a chip shortage? Generally, that means that you're constrained, meaning you can't have as much growth. And yet here they are increasing their forecast and lowering the multiple in 2024 because of an issue in 2021. This literally makes no sense. I won't belabor the point there, but the logical conflict just in this one single sentence is, well, I'll default back to saying it as nicely as I can, humorous. All right, clearly we need to move on here. So next up, we've got some news on the Model S. Remember last week we had talked about a containment hold at Fremont. So a little bit over 1,500 Model S's were sitting there waiting for something to be done before delivery. Well, over the weekend, a lot of order holders on Tesla Motors Club forum reporting that they have had delivery or scheduled delivery. So it looks like whatever was causing that containment hold has either been partially or fully resolved, which is always great to see, especially when the product is relatively new, like the refreshed Model S. So happy to report on that. And then perhaps not coincidentally, we've got Tesla Roddy here reporting that Tesla is planning to hold a Plaid Model S team appreciation event tomorrow, July 29th, at the Fremont factory. I guess they had to get some city approval for that, so that's how that showed up. And I'm not sure when that was scheduled, but tough to think that there would be an appreciation event if Tesla didn't feel like they were kind of over the hump in terms of being able to deliver that vehicle in volume. I think a couple of good pieces there on the Model S, and then a third update here. Looks like the Plaid Model S is at the Nürburgring for testing. This was a big story back in 2019, and it's where we kind of first learned some of the details about the Plaid Model S. So I'm definitely excited to see it back there. Tesla's talked about the Laguna Seca track times for the Plaid, but the Nürburgring is a much longer course. Hopefully with Tesla doing some testing there, we'll get some track times sooner rather than later. While we are on the Model S, it is worth noting that the estimated delivery times on the design studio right now in the US for the long-range Model S have moved out all the way to February through March. Obviously, that is for new orders, so we'll have to wait and see if that is more reflective of demand or more reflective of production. Quick look at the Model 3 and the Model Y while we're on the topic. The long-range versions of both vehicles in the US, currently estimated delivery is November. Next here, we've got a report from Electrek on Tesla's retail store strategy. So remember, a couple years back, Tesla said that they were going to close down all retail stores. Then shortly after that, they walked that plan back a little bit, saying they were just going to close some stores. Well, Electrek now reporting that, quote, Tesla is currently implementing a major shift in its retail strategy, according to sources familiar with the matter, end quote, which I think maybe dramatizes the actual moves a little bit here. Later on in the article, Electrek says that Tesla is going to close some retail locations, but that will not result in a smaller retail workforce. So basically, more remote work, less costly retail locations, more emphasis on things like contactless test drives, which Tesla's actually had since almost the beginning of the pandemic. So nothing there that I would really call a major shift personally, more of a continuation of the path that Tesla has been on. All right, last couple of items here. First, an update on the FSD beta from Elon. This is from the weekend, so many of you may have seen it, but we haven't covered it yet because of earnings. Elon was asked if there was any timing on the next FSD rollout, if any more early access folks would be able to test. And Elon replied to that saying 2 weeks, which at that point, you don't really know if he's joking or not. But we did get another update here. Elon saying that several improvements are coming version via 9.1 on Friday at midnight. That should be this upcoming Friday. I'm really excited about that. I've been talking about this since 9.0 launched. 9.0 was largely about just getting the system over to pure vision. So 9.1, that's going to be really our first chance to see what the rate of progress is now that that shift has been made. I'm sure we'll have another round of FSD beta videos this weekend then to give us a good idea of that. All right, lastly then for today, we've got news from Redwood Materials. Many of you may be familiar. This is a business founded by JB Straubel, the co-founder of Tesla that has moved on to focus on Redwood Materials, which hopes to be an integral player in the battery recycling space. So today they announced a pretty big funding round. They have raised $700 million from external investment. TechCrunch is reporting that the valuation was at $3.7 billion. So congratulations to JB and the team for that raise. It'll be fun to see what they do with that capital. That is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed. I think tomorrow we're going to go through some of the takeaways from Tesla's 10Q. There's always some nice little hidden details in there that don't necessarily make it into the shareholder letter, so we'll talk about those. So be on the lookout for that, or you can turn on notifications. In the meantime, you can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, July 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.